Hello, everyone. We welcome you today to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. This is February 3rd, 2019. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we are very happy you all could join us this morning. And we will begin with our morning prayer.
Mrs. Eddy's prayer, given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. Oh my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of the mind of God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth, all the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help, consecrate, and accept.
Thank you. In miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy, we today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind, for then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Our subject today is love. Our golden text is Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we will start today with our watching point again, Linda.
Watch number 457. Watch that you be like Gideon with his band, who blew the trumpet before he had his struggle with error, before the manifestation of his victory appeared. When he directed his band to blow the trumpet, that was the indication from the metaphysical standpoint that the battle was already won, which is the position one must always take in demonstration. Once our leader declared, quote, I have always known that victory is as certain now as it will be a century hence, end quote. In all we do, we must start with the realization of a completed demonstration. Miscellany, page 242, shows this point. If the Bible statement is true, before they call, I will answer, then the solution for each problem must be at hand before the problem comes, and we must realize this fact. End quote.
Thank you. Comments on this?
I think this is something that gets easier with practice, learning to, you know, go to God, call on Him in times of trouble or when facing any challenges. I've learned that that's why I'm going to Him in the first place, because I know He has the answer to everything that I need. So it's just with practice that I'm really gaining this understanding, and it does get easier when I'm facing a challenge to go forward because I know what the outcome will be if I go to God first.
Thank you. Mrs. Eddy says truth is always the victor, so if you're applying the truth, living the best you can, and obeying God, we know that the truth is going to be the victor. Thank you. Did anyone look up miscellany, page 242? Well, there's a question, or someone is posing a question to Mrs. Eddy, saying that she had told her, I guess her practitioner, a practitioner, that, you know, she was perfect in truth now, something to that effect. And the practitioner had told her, no, you're not. You're in your flesh and blood. And so she was appealing to Mrs. Eddy for the answer. I guess it was in an old sentinel. And so Mrs. Eddy concurred that, yes, That's the truth about you, that you are perfect in truth now, and it is right. You always declare perfect God, perfect man, perfect universe. But then she says, again, she qualifies it to say that that doesn't mean that this flesh and blood and bones and all this material sense picture is the perfect man, because of course it is not, and this is where scientists run into trouble when they go around committing all kinds of atrocities, shall I say, and declaring, oh, well, I'm the child of God, it doesn't matter what I do. Of course, that is ludicrous reasoning. So, to me, I call it hitching your wagon to a star. When you're not feeling good, to think of yourself as a miserable sinner certainly doesn't help. I've tried that. It doesn't really work. So you start out with the truth that you know. And that is, you are God's perfect child. You're perfect in Him now. You declare for the truth about yourself. And that uplifts the thought.
And the key is, in Him are you perfect. Not in a mortal body are you perfect. In Him you are perfect.
And that's
where we need to get our thought. Once we do, then we start to see things correctly.
No, Mrs. Eddy says that it is from this standpoint that we practice. And it makes me really think how important it is to really get this, that when we've, as Mary says, hitched our wagon on the star, we have to start daily, continually, you know, knowing ourselves as this immortal spiritual selfhood. Because otherwise, you know, we're talking about the mortal man who she says is far from the truth, that that man is the child of God. And Bicknell Young was saying that in 1937 that if you think that a man doing all kinds of wrong things is the child of God, you're so wrong. It's not, that's not what you love. You love the truth about that man, so the real man. We're talking about the real man, the spiritual individuality.
Thank you very much. Who else is...
I think when I was reading the lesson, and I just happened to turn in Science and Health to a particular passage, and at times when you're trying to find your way for an answer, I just happened to open to the section in, which is from Genesis, and it's Spirit God gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts, even as He opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear. I think that was always helpful to me when seeming confronted with a problem and not quite understanding where to turn.
Thank you.
And I think also, if I may say, this also came to me during my study, that because God is all, which is what we have to always be looking at, God's allness, this is the message of salvation for us all. Because God is all, good alone is all. And so any problem that comes up is the lie, as we've learned, about the good that's there. That's why the answer is already at hand, always at hand.
Yes. And we're taught here we wouldn't have the problem if the answer wasn't already there. And that's sort of what Day-Day was saying. And as we turn to God and declare the truth about ourselves, the answer becomes very apparent.
Interesting. When Mary and I were driving to church this morning, there was a car in front of us that had a little sticker on the back window that said Jeremiah 29:11. I thought, okay, God. Well, I just turned to Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That's why we turn to God.
And what a nice message.
Yeah.
He you gave it. And Florence, I thought that this watching point went along with your forum on harmony, because all those quotes from the Blue Book, and I had to laugh because I have seen Florence's Blue Book, and it is the most well-worn Blue Book.
Oh, Mary, 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 you!
I'm telling the world, but it shows how much you love it, and you do, and use it absolutely. So go ahead, Florence, on your forum.
I just was struck by man's happiness is not therefore at the disposal of physical sense. I think it's just a very powerful message to us all that, you know, when we feel in any way other than good, we have to know that wait just a second, thinking something or accepting something that's not true. And I said, if I'm not forgetting that the real man, what the real man is, that man lives, moves, have his head being in God, never separated from God, that he is hid in the secret place of the Most High in divine love, then I would be more awake to see any discord as unreal, unnatural, and as a temptation, and do something about it, with the truth being taught and explained from the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's works. I know no such thing as sin, suffering, want, or disease, for I am the perfect reflection of life, truth, and love. That's the Blue Book 72. I am never grieved or disappointed, since God is all, and my life is hid with Christ in God, page 49. The harmony of my being cannot be disturbed because I live in the infinite. God's child cannot suffer and be unhappy because God is the only power, and he never made anything but love and peace, page 49. Divine intelligence creates and governs all things in perfect harmony. That's page 284. All of the Blue Book. The patterned Blue Book.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mary Baker Eddy.
I heard about someone who was going to take a course on happiness. And I thought, goodness, it's all here in science. But if you are looking for it in the physical senses, you will be sadly disappointed. Got to turn to the Father and know that that's where the source is always from. It doesn't matter what the physical senses are telling you, because if that's true, we'll all be miserable forever. So we know that's not true. God is the source of our joy.
I'm saying to myself more now, did God say that?
Thank you. Very important. It's just a simple question. Take it back. Did God say that? And if God didn't say it, what?
Not true.
Yes, it's not true. It's not being said. You're listening to the wrong voice. So therefore, you correct your thinking. Here again, this goes back to the command statements, pages 390 to 393 in Science and Health. Arguing on the right side. Go ahead.
No, I think when, you know, for example, if you have something on your skin or something like that, it becomes difficult not to accept that. But again, what is that? Is it still not something mortal mind? Again, out there, it's not from God, so we can address all those things with the same truth. Is this God really send this? Is this really a part of me as God's child? So these questions I have found to be very helpful, even in the terms of feeling bad or, you know, looking at something and still declaring it's unreality.
Thank you. That's right. And in Martha Wilcox's book, The Word Made Flesh, it's very good. She will teach us there how Mrs. Eddy healed one of her horses. And it was all with illusion, knowing that it was not the truth, it was an illusion. So, Anyway, sorry, we were getting a phone call. Anyway, it was an illusion, and how tricky an illusion is, and that's true when we seem to see these things that we think are real, and they're not. We're being tricked into believing belief of life and matter and all of that. So don't be tricked by the illusion of the material sense. Thank you all. So now, the golden text and the responsive reading. Carol, will you read it? Our 23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. Such a beautiful psalm, and one we should all be well familiar with. I had mentioned this once in another Bible study, and I was grateful Linda found it for me again, about someone who had used this prayer. He says that a number of years ago I was very ill and discovered how extremely helpful this prayer can be. Even though I did not believe the prayer at first, I simply repeated it 20 to 200 times a day. It was an effort to change my mind away from total despair, negativity, and fear. One could say I had brainwashed myself with it, self-mesmerism. At first, it was just words on a page. However, after about a year of doing this, I noticed that I was actually feeling the meaning and sense of the prayer. I started to believe in and feel the message of hope, love, and healing that it contains. So even if the words do not ring true for you, or if it seems too good to be true, just repeating the words and thinking about them can help them come alive for you. And we have learned here that is absolutely true. Even when you don't believe, when you feel you don't get it, you're just not getting it, to read it, to pray over it, to think about it will sort of jumpstart you again. So don't just think, oh, well, I don't believe that, and then shut your book. This is proof of tremendous persistence. And then these truths took hold and healed because it is the Word of God. Each sentence is powerful, but I thought we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and thank Shukrat and Shahidat again for our Bible study. But one of the, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, out of the depths, out of deep darkness, I call it the depths of despair. That's from Anne of Green Gables. She was always coming out of the depths of despair. Anyway, when we feel that way, God is walking through us, through with us on that. And Shardy reminded me, because it's going to be in a future lesson, the definition of valley in the glossary. Do you want to read it, Shardy?
Valley, depression, deepness, darkness. Quote, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's Psalm. Though the way is dark, in mortal sense, divine life and love illuminate, destroy the unrest of mortal thought, the fear of death, and the supposed reality of error. Christian Science, contradicting sense, maketh the valley to bud, and the blossom as the rose.
And it's a good definition to be familiar with. And to remember when we do feel that terrible darkness, that God is with us, and we will be brought out of it if we persist.
I remember Mrs. Evans teaching us one time, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't linger in it. Keep walking.
Keep walking, right. That's right.
I was found that so helpful.
Thank you.
Mary? It's in our lesson sermon that if you substitute for the corporeal sense, the incorporeal, the spiritual sense of being, the whole thing was a revelation. This whole town is alive. This substitutes divine love, the word divine love, at the beginning of every divine love makes me lie down.
Thank you.
Divine love is my ship. Submit the word by substitute the word love.
Thank you very much. And that's so true. Thank you. And it certainly goes hand in hand, that and Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of it. And Jeremy, I guess, found this beautiful quote from Mrs. Eddy. It's on the carousel, and it's called, All Love Does. I love that. All Love Does. So this psalm incorporates All Love Does. And I'll have Bruce, you want to read it?
Thank you. All Love Does. I walk the earth in the atmosphere of love, which holds me in spiritual gravitation. The love that I reflect repels every error of mortal mind. For love is the only law, and love is all activity. Love fills all channels and expels all error. Love purifies, inspires, protects, and satisfies. Love contains, love maintains, love sustains. Love does liberate, unbind, unseal, and deliver. Naught can hinder love. Love does supply with perfect freedom. Love does furnish, provide, adorn with great liberty. Love does glow, warm, shine, light with its rays of glory. Love does illumine, irradiate, beam with resplendent brilliancy. Love is the only and all of spiritual attainment in spiritual growth. Without it, healing is not done and cannot be, either morally or physically. Every advanced step will show you this until victory is won and you possess no other consciousness but love divine.
Thank you. So, is there anything love does not do?
It reminds me of the beautiful hymn, In Atmosphere of Love Divine, we live and move and breathe. Though mortal eyes may see it not, 'tis sense that would deceive.
Thank you. So remember this, and if you're ever feeling in any way out of sorts, beef up your love potion. Get your love going. Start feeling love, even if it's just for your kitty cat. Get it started. Feel love for something, and then it'll bloom and blossom as the rose. Because it's the very presence and power of God with you. Love. Also, in that verse, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In that little book I've mentioned, the Philip Keller book, about a shepherd and the 23rd Psalm, it's a beautiful little book. But he had all this firsthand experience with shepherds, and he lived in Africa for a while and also in the Near East. But anyway, he was talking about the little shepherd boys and how they would make their rods. They would whittle them out of wood and they were like an extension of their arm. He said it just amazed him the way they could throw these things and with such precision. And if ever a sheep was going to stray or something not good was about to happen, they would take their rod and they would just throw it, and it would just land in its mark, scare the sheep back into the fold. And with unerring precision, and he likened it, and it is likened, to God's Word, because that's what God's Word does. And this is why we talk about it all the time, because we are to take that Word of God, these words, and use them just like that. Hurl them at any negativity, at any fear. Strike it down. It's truly a great discipline, and that's what he brought out. These boys are so disciplined. It's not an easy task to be a shepherd. Well, they're well trained for it. So it is with us. We have to be well trained and well disciplined in the Word, God's Word. Anyone else on this psalm? We could go on for years, but...
I wanted to say something about the rod. It's really a precious thing. And it's the thing that holds you back from going where it'll do you harm. And it may not seem like comfort at the time when you're intent on going there, but with the higher elevation of looking at things, you can see how loving it is. I'm just so thankful for that correcting rod.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is. And you see... says it comforts, and it does comfort, because it's always comforting to feel God's presence and his discipline and care. Lauren?
Yeah, and again about this rod, I also read that they use it to go over the wool, and it uncovers any little nicks, you know, in the skin, which I thought was so beautiful, the uncovering of what needed to be taken care of. So that rod is it's a big deal.
Thank you. It is a big deal.
I'd like to say something about the I shall not want part in the golden text. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I remember one time Bruce was explaining about that. You could take it two ways. And one was, I shall not want this or that, you know, like making a wish list. But the other one that's even more profound, it's very profound, it's like, I shall not want. I shall have everything. God will give me everything I need and take care of me. And I just thought that was a really good way of putting that.
Thank you. Yeah, get that into your being, and you won't feel like you're always unsatisfied and wanting. You'll feel satisfied. God gives you all you need. If we would spend more time turning to him for everything you need, you'd find that to be true.
That healed me once as a young child. One day I was ill, and I must have had a good Sunday school teacher, because I remembered part of the 23rd Psalm, and it meant something to me. And I started repeating it to myself in prayer, and that is what it meant to me, that since God is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything good. I shall not want for good health. And that simple understanding at the age of 4, 5, or 6, whatever it was, healed me very quickly.
I love the lines, I anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's a beautiful feeling of being surrounded with love.
Yes. Yes, and we study about oil and what that does, what that represents. So that he in the glossary, consecration, inspiration, but oil, very important, was very important to the sheep. And your cup runneth over. That kind of goes with what Jeremy wrote in the forum.
Yeah, just going over from 2 Kings, what the, you know, the lady asking of Elisha what to do, and he says to, you know, get all the vessels you can get and borrow not a few. And I just found that very inspiring, that God doesn't just give us enough to barely survive. He gives us as much as we can hold, and more even, because I find as time goes on, I realize, oh, he was just waiting for me to be ready, and then here's some, some more. So.
He pours it forth.
So I just find that really wonderful. And it reminded me of something from miscellaneous writings where Mary Baker Eddy said, God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn they give you daily supplies. I found that very, very comforting to work with these past years.
Thank you. All love does.
Said he refers to it as the open fount. God is pouring out more blessings than we can receive. Jeremy said, it's just a matter of our being ready, really.
And Shardy wrote sort of to that topic about everybody, right? Everybody. No one is excluded. They're not the haves and the have-nots. Please, let's get rid of that. That's error talking.
Come ye to the fount.
Thank you. Come ye to the fount. It's a matter of learning, educating yourself to this God that loves us. And so many people have proven it, which is maybe now we'll go to who wants to tell us about beautiful YouTube that dear Parson. Well, one was about someone who was in Uganda, supposed to feed 50 people, but 200 showed up, and some were even crying, afraid they wouldn't have enough. And what happened?
They couldn't give enough away. They kept filling up. The containers kept filling, and even one they couldn't empty.
And then another, a woman going, again, in Africa, and with 8 suitcases of clothing to bring to the orphans. And so she handed them out, maybe was it Uganda, I forget the first place, and what happened?
They were limitless.
They kept filling up. One little boy needed a pair of 5'5" shoes, I think, and she reached in and pulled out a pair of 5'5" shoes.
Prayed with him first.
Yes, thank you, she
did. They held hands.
They held hands and prayed. And then she went, I believe it was to Kenya, and the same thing. The 8 bags kept filling with clothes. And the children were going home with garbage bags full of clothes. Some of them, she said, were designer clothes. And she went home to the United States, and all 8 bags were what?
Full.
Full. Now, it's up to you to take that and believe it, because if you don't and think it's just a made-up story, well, then your suitcases will be empty.
Well, that's how Hitler partly won, was because people wanted so much and wanted, and complained and felt sorry for themselves, and he promised all this stuff, and he won their hearts over with that promise. You got to watch that coveting and wanting. It leaves you open. It's very dangerous.
Thank you. That's a good point. But in this point, there was a great need with these orphan children, and the woman said how God loves to bless the orphan children. And again, all love does.
And she had no personal ambition. She just loved the orphan children.
That's right. There was nothing political or anything. This was all based on love.
I like that.
Go ahead.
Love operates unspent. I think I read it, Mrs. Betty.
Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? I don't remember that. Love operates unspent. All the sources ever hearing. And I've heard scientists say, and this is on a human level, our natural resources are incredible. Everything. And it's only the carnal mind, the greed and other things that Linda's talking about, that makes it seem otherwise. Ingratitude, not being grateful for it, not caring for it properly, pollution, polluting, all of those. But God is an abundant God, and that is approvable. So if you aren't experiencing it in your life, then open your thought up to it, because we're trained otherwise. We're trained that, you know, certain conditions, certain things keep you poor or limited.
And that's a damn lie.
But again, what are you doing it for? Why are you doing it? And are you going to bless others with it? Or is it just for the selfish discontent, wanting more and more and more? And if that is, you might get what you want, but you won't be happy with it. It will be damnable to you. You will be miserable. And that's proven. That's proven, too. That's very much proven. Miserable rich people.
For some reason,
go ahead.
I was going to say, for some reason, the Elisha story never had a connection for me with Jesus feeding the multitudes. And then when I saw the post of those YouTubes that Parsons had put on the forum, it was like icing on the cake.
Yes. And why not? If it was done then, this is what we talked about, the Christ. We talked about this yesterday at the Bible study. The Christ, ever present. If it was done then, why not now? We just don't expect it. We don't think it. We've become too secular.
I love this lesson, and I appreciate it, because the giving was so unselfish. It opened my eyes on how important. And I didn't understand that law of abundance, and this lesson is brought out beautifully.
Thank you. And then it was, Elizabeth isn't here today, but she wrote in Psalms, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. And then how beautiful.
I'm in here.
Oh, you are here. Oh, good.
I made it.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. You want to speak to that then, Elizabeth? Our own God.
Our own God?
Yeah.
I just thought that was such a beautiful paragraph from Charles Spurgeon. I mean, he just has a way with words, and it just talks about our own God, you know. He says, our own God, by our own choice of him, a choice most free, but guided by his Holy Spirit, so that we, who should have chosen our own ruin, were sweetly led to make our election of the Lord, because he had made his election of us. Our own God, ours to trust, ours to love, ours to fly to in every dark and troublous night, ours to commune with in every bright and balmy day, ours to be our guide in life, our help in death, and our glory in immortality. And it just goes on. It's just a beautiful thought.
Thank you. And how important, our own God. You have your own God. He's yours. Like a little child likes his teddy bear. Well, we've got this wonderful God, ever present and available. And yes, Spurgeon speaks to it beautifully. Thank you for finding that. And it's on the forum, the whole thing. I'm sure it'll be in forum highlight. But this is the great value, too, of our forum, because people share these ideas. And then we fill our thoughts up with all that love does. all that love does. Now then, something that I love very much is Isaiah 58, which Linda and also Joanne wrote about. So, you want to read it, Linda, or speak through it?
Well, it said that, and they shall be of these, shall build the old waste places, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And I just thought this is what Plainfield does. It's helping us repair all the things that we've done from, it was talked about from the ruins of captivity, and that we needed to be faithful in keeping his commandments. And that was part of it, was going back to God and being obedient, being following his commandments, but that we were going to be restored. And to me, that just that restoration is so beautiful. And sometimes it's time, seed, or not taking care of things. And it's a lot of work to repair it, but it's beautiful. And I was just more, to me, it was more expressing gratitude for the restoration that goes on here through the teaching.
Thank you.
And that restoration has a condition to it, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Starts, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity.
And thy darkness be as the noonday. That is very conditional, you see. So, draw out the soul, out thy soul to the hungry. That's what our website is doing. That's what all of this is doing. Hungering, those who are hungering for this truth. And then satisfy the afflicted soul with healing. Again, that's what has to be done. And then, so then people who are complaining about being unhappy, all right, well, they need to think about these conditions. Because after that, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. So all your obscurity, all your cloudiness, all your not understanding things, you will begin to understand. And your darkness, your depression, your misery, it will become as the noonday. And then look what God does. This is the abundance again. He'll guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, they'll be like the watered gardens, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. It is just beautiful. I think it's one of my favorite verses because it is so true. And yes, then we will do this repairing work where it's needed. I got the latest Hartzog letter, and he speaks about this law case coming up on the 14th. He also mentions, I thought this was very telling, he talks about the book Between Two Towers, how the CIA undermined the president and looted an American church, meaning the mother church. But he says, Hartzog says, the damage done to church finances during the Hoagland era is reflected in part by the many 50 and 99-year leases of almost all the buildings on the Christian Science Plaza to Northeastern University. One might say that the plaza is now the de facto campus of Northeastern University. And believe me, we saw that with our own eyes. The reason I'm bringing this up here is because this is what? The old waste places. And he goes on the next page about, it says an article by Michael Snyder appearing November 28, 2018, says, as you will see below, between 6,000 and 10,000 churches are dying in the United States every single year. And that means that more than 100 will die this week alone. And of course, thousands of others are on life support. All over the country this weekend, small handfuls of people will gather in huge buildings, which once boasted very large congregations. A similar thing is happening in Europe, only on a much greater scale. We are living at a time when there is a mass exodus from the Christian faith in America, and it is likely to take something quite dramatic to reverse that trend. Now, this is what's going to be quite dramatic. These verses in Isaiah. God can do anything. And he does, and we've just talked about it for such a long time this morning. All love does. There is nothing it can't do, and it actually doesn't have to take that much time once we get it in motion. And we are getting it in motion, and we must never forget that or doubt that. But I bring it up because when I read it yesterday, I thought, well, goodness, these are the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. That's so comforting. It doesn't matter how long it's been going on, because this hasn't just been the last couple of weeks that this has been going on, you understand. And many generations.
In the last century, ever since Mrs. Eddy passed, the human mind did everything it could to take over.
So, but we will reverse this trend. We will not be dismayed by any of this, but we will go forward in recognizing all that love does. I love it in the lesson as well where Mrs. Eddy says, to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. I have used that often as a watch. Just thinking that, just knowing that, in every hour to all mankind. So this is reversing what this guy says, that all the churches are closing every hour. Let's know, well, it's closing to old theology, but it's opening up to the truth of Mrs. Eddy's science. Thought is being prepared. The leaven of truth is working. What cannot love do?
But also to hear that people are gathering in homes to, you know, just talk about the Bible. That's also, that's like a contrast to this.
It is. And people are doing that. And many people, and that's happening throughout the world where that is happening. So, and that can't really be counted. You know, people don't know of all the good. And so if the closing of the false concepts is a good thing, but we will know that divine science fills the void. It's filled. Just as we declare we are perfect in truth now, the victory is at hand. Man is perfect now. He understands God, he loves God, and he feels God's presence and power. To all mankind and in every hour, divine love is supplying all good. What cannot love do? So we will end today, Communion, June 4th, 1899, by Mrs. Eddy.
I reluctantly foresee great danger threatening our nation. Imperialism, monopoly, and a lax system of religion. But the spirit of humanity, ethics, and Christianity, sown broadcast, all concomitants of Christian science, is taking strong hold of the public thought throughout our beloved country and in foreign lands, and is tending to counteract the trend of mad ambition. There is no night but in God's frown. There is no day but in his smile. The oracular skies, the verdant earth, bird, brook, blossom, breeze, and balm are richly fraught with divine reflection. They come at love's call. The nod of spirit is nature's natal. And how is man, seen through the lens of spirit, enlarged,
and how counterpoised his origin from dust, and how he presses to his original, never severed from spirit. O ye who leap disdainfully from this rock of ages, return and plant thy steps in Christ's truth, the stone which the builders rejected. Then will angels administer grace, do thy errands, and be thy dearest allies. The divine law gives to man health and everlasting life, gives a soul to soul, a present harmony wherein the good man's heart takes hold on heaven, and whose feet can never be moved. These are his green pastures beside still waters, where faith mounts upward, expiates, strengthens, and exalts.
Mrs. Eddy felt it even then, and look what she accomplished. So we are her disciples. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
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 Thank you.